Our scripture this morning is coming from the second book of the Bible called Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 14, we would like to begin reading at verse 11. It's obviously a larger story, and we're kind of just jumping into this story. Exodus chapter 14, and we would like to begin reading at verse 11. By the inspiration of God, by the pen of Moses, these words are recorded. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to bring us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Verse 15, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on.'" We read into your hearing Exodus chapter 14, verses 11 through 15. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. We would like to use as a subject today, multiple choices. Multiple choices. As we recognize breast cancer awareness by wearing our pink, we recognize that there are some tough decisions in life. We recognize that there are some tough roads we may have to travel. We recognize that there are some difficult days that have difficult decisions. One of the things that I wanted to make sure that we are aware is that we have choices. One of the things I always wanted for my daughters, I didn't want to decide for them, but I did want them to know that they always have a choice. No matter what happens, no matter what decisions you make in life, you can always come back home. That's always a choice. Now you're going to have to listen to your mama. You're going to have to be treated like you're 12. Now don't get it twisted. When you come back here, there're going to be chores again. And if I feel like it, I might call a prayer meeting at 2 a.m. You can come back home. Now, you're going to have to pay on that electric bill this time. We're going to have to put some groceries in the refrigerator. You're going to have to chip in here and there. You're going to have to cut the grass every now and then. But you always have the choice to come back home. Now I might just jump in your car and go for a ride because I don't want to put gas in my car. It's going to be some thorns this time. But you have that choice to come back home. But we live in a time in the world where there are multiple choices. I mean, have you ever tried to just go buy a Coke these days? I mean, they got Coke without sugar. They got Coke Zero. They got Coke with this. They got traditional Coke. They got old school Coke. You can get Mexican Coke. You can get Coke with orange in it. You can get Coke with strawberries in it. You know, I'm just an old Dr. Pepper drinking man, but now you can get strawberry and cream Dr. Pepper. You can get blueberry Dr. Pepper. You can get all the multiple choices. Please don't get sick and have to go try to figure out your own medicine. It's like you can get medicine that can help you sleep. You can get medicine to keep you awake. They got daytime formula. They got nighttime formula. They got with sneezing, without sneezing, with chest congestion, without chest congestion. It lasts 4 hours. This one lasts 12 hours. We have choices, choices, choices. Even with churches. Now look, I'm trying to get everybody saved, but I ain't trying to pastor everybody. I'm not trying to get everybody to Austin. I mean, I like the inaugural investiture like everybody, but I don't want that every Sunday. That's a once in a lifetime kind of a thing. You can't pastor everybody. That's why it's important for us to get to know others and get to know other fellowships and other ministries. So when we meet those that we can't help, we can point them to other choices. Ebenezer may not be the choice for you, but there is a choice that you can make. We have multiple choices. So then the question comes, how do you make a decision? What choice do you make when you have multiple choices? How do you choose when you have multiple choices, especially when it comes to some of the major decisions in this life? I had a young lady, she was battling with cancer, and we prayed with the family through every diagnosis. We prayed with the family through every treatment. We prayed with her and with the family through every season of the disease. We walked with her every step of the way. And then one day she came and testified Sunday morning that it was in recession. It was a recession. It had stopped. And we rejoiced with her. We shouted with her. Praise God with her. A few weeks after, we was having a revival. She came to me and she said, "Pastor, we went to the doctor and the doctor said it's back and I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go." She said, "All I know is that I don't want to do what I did again." And I said, I said, "Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray about it and then go inside and listen to the Lord. Let's listen intently to see what the Lord is saying." So I pray with the Lord, speak to our hearts, speak to this moment, speak to her decision, speak to this moment. Speak, Lord. We go inside, guest preacher preached that day, and he was preaching the Hebrew boys. I'll never forget it. He preached that Wednesday, Thursday. He preached that day, "The Lord will be with you. Whatever your decision, the Lord will be with you. Whatever your choice, the Lord will be with you. The Lord will be with you in your fiery furnace." Whatever your situation, whatever you're going through. Me and her couldn't wait for the benediction. We ran out of church right then and there. Ran out, met her out in the parking lot, and we began to shout right there in the parking lot. "Did you hear from the Lord? Did you hear the Lord? Did you hear?" She said, "Yes, I heard the Lord. He promised to be with me. I can find comfort in knowing that the Lord is with me." And that day she went and made me dinner, which I appreciated, and we rejoiced and celebrated. And she had time to spend with her family. She spoke to them and told them everything she wanted. And when her time came, she was surrounded by family and love. Nobody was crying. Everybody was singing her way to heaven. And she got the victory. Because one thing I've learned in death, that cancer can't go with you. Sickness is not going to go with you. Disease is not going to go with you. In death, we have the victory. In Christ, we have the victory. And that day she knew She had the victory. Why? Because the Lord is with you. Brothers, when we have these decisions in life, the major decisions in life, these choices, well, I want you to know that we have a multiple choice. Here in Exodus 14, we find the children of Israel in what you would call a dead-end situation. They were trapped. They had just escaped from Egypt and singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Nobody wasn't even paying attention where they were going. They wasn't even following the Google map. They were just singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Look where the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has. And they marched out of Egypt. And they had a fiery cloud that led them by night, and they had a pillar of cloud that led them by day, and they just singing and singing and singing. And then one day, somebody in the back was looking over their shoulder and looking out the rearview mirror, and they noticed that Pharaoh's army was beginning to chase them. And the word started spreading throughout the camp. Pharaoh is coming to get us. Pharaoh is coming to get us. And then they started to look forward. And the only thing forward was the Red Sea. It appeared as if they had been led into a trap. And Pharaoh didn't bring his HR department. He wasn't going out there to negotiate. He wasn't going out there to make a deal. Pharaoh had sent his army to destroy the children of Israel. And now they're trapped between mountains on either side of them, Red Sea in front of them, and Pharaoh's army behind them. And here we see that they have multiple choices. First choice we get is A, the people's choice. The people began asking, why did you bring us here? In fact, the people began to romanticize about the past. In fact, the people began to say, it was better. It was better. It was better for us to be in Egypt than it is to be in this desert. They began to complain. They began to argue, why did you bring us out here only to die? You gotta think about it. You know, a lot of us, we like to make the people's choice. We like to just simply go with the numbers. I mean, that makes life easier. We live in a democratic society and numbers do matter. You know, it's good to have good numbers. It's good to have good analytics, but the people can often act out of fear. People can often act out of anxiety. They act out of what they think they know. I mean, you think about it. The people were saying, now, Moses, you're going to have to look at the facts and the figures. The people say, now, the facts is that we have nowhere to turn. The fact is we got mountains on either side of us. The fact is the Red Sea is in front of us. The fact is that Pharaoh's army is coming upon us. Oh, yes, the people love to say, look at the facts. Look at the figures. Look at the numbers. They love to say, look at what we can't do. And when you look at the numbers, they'll say our options are few. What else? What else can we do? Only choice that we have is to go back. The only chance that we have for survival is to go back. The only option, only choice that we have no other choice than to go back. You know, there are some people today the same old way. They want to sing them song, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place. Even in church, we like to romanticize about the past. We like to think yesterday was so much better than today. And most of the time, it was better yesterday because it wasn't your responsibility yesterday. Yeah, yesterday was better for me when my parents were paying the electric bill. I did not know how good it was. I did not know how good a child's place is. I wish my mama would say, come back home and I'll put you in a child's place. I get in it. She wouldn't have to worry about the trash can. She wouldn't have to worry about taking out the trash. I mow the yard. I do all those child place things. Why? Because I can know the benefits, but also remember the burdens. The reason I got out of there, I got tired of folk telling me what to do. I thought, I'm thinking I can make good decisions as you can make. I don't know. My money, I make the money. I ought to be able to decide how the money go. That's the reason I got out of the house. That's the reason I got out of a child's place. But people tend to want to romanticize about the past. Here. They wanted to go back. But think about it. That's always a choice. I remember when I was thinking about the people I built a time machine. I actually considered it, really drew up the plans and had the blueprints and thought thinking about how to fuel a time machine to go back in time. And then I discovered the only way to fuel a time machine is with the hopes and dreams of the children. That's the only way you can fuel a time machine. And then I decided, well, I ain't going to build it if I'm not going to fuel it. If you're going to fuel it, if you're not going to fuel it, what's the point in building a time machine? But because I built the time machine, I discovered that there is a lens on the time machine. And if you turn the lens around, see, if you're going to go back, you got to have some way of directing. You got to have a lens. You got to have some way of seeing where you're going so you can pinpoint where you're going. But I discovered if you turn the lens around, it doesn't give you an accurate picture of the future, but it does give you a glimpse of the future. And that's what Paul says when he says that we look through the glass darkly. When he's not talking about the past, he's talking about the future. We look through the future through a glass darkly now, but one day we will see it clearly. When we look toward the future, it may not be as clear as the past, but it is more definite, it is more true, and it is more real. When we deal with the people's choice of going back because of fear, and that's a choice. But then we get the choice of the leader. We get the choice in verse 13 for Moses. This is a choice that is out of wisdom and knowledge. This is bred out of experience with the Lord. Moses, he makes his choice. He makes his decision out of spending time with the Lord. I know the Lord did not bring us out here only to leave us. And so Moses cries out, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see God put on his rescue hat. Stand still and watch God deliver us one more time. Just stand still and be a witness to what God is about to do. Oh, it's no wonder we can be encouraged by Moses' words of wisdom, Moses' words of experience, Moses' words of faith. As the people always want to talk about what's real and the facts and the figures, but they always forget that faith is real also. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't doubt the power of trusting in the Lord. Don't forget the power of putting it all in the Lord's hand and letting the Lord work it out. Stand still and watch what God is going to do. Don't you know that God cares more for you than you care for yourself? God loves you more than you love yourself. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How did God demonstrate his love toward us? He gave us his son. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Why? Because of his love. God loves us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never lead us into a trap. I don't always know where God is going, but I know he's not leading me to my own demise. You have to trust the Lord. Even when you can't trace them, you have to trust them. Even when you can't track them, you still gotta trust them. Even when you can't hear from him. I remember one time I was in a building project and I met with the architect. And it was one of the initial meetings, just trying to fill them out, get the numbers, you know, see what we're dealing with. And, man, that dude thought dropping off so many K's, I started getting scared. Every number he said, it ended with a K. I couldn't believe it was 10K, 20K, 30K. I ain't never heard numbers ran off like that. I needed 4 or 5 numbers before we got to the K's. But this dude was dropping off K, K, K. I was hearing K's so much, I thought in a minute I was going to be selling Mary Kay because... this must be a recruiting meeting or something. This dude done say way too many K's. And I even got up to leave. I thought it was over with. I was like, man, I ain't going to be selling no Mary Kay. So let me get on up and get on out of here. He said, Robinson, you called for this. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I did call for this. And he ran off a few more K's, K, K, K. And when he got through the end, all his K's was the total budget that we had. When he got done, for the plans, for the blueprints, for the documents, was all the money that the group had. So I'm trying to figure out, that ain't gonna work. I don't know what to do. So I went that night and laid out. My wife was like, what's wrong? I said, nothing wrong. But I was like, Lord, there ain't no way in the world I can spend all these people money just on blueprints. That just ain't gonna fly. That ain't gonna work. I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know where to go. And the Lord spoke to me that night. The Lord said, but you don't have down what I'm going to do. I said, that's what I'm talking about, Jesus. That's the Lord I know. That's what I heard my parents say. Lord, what are you going to do? Crickets. I'm like, oh, snap. This ain't, come on, man. You're going to have to work with me on this. And I sat there and I thought, I said, Lord, what will you have me to do? What do you want me to do tomorrow morning? He said, call them up and tell them, go ahead. I was like, okay. So the next morning I waited till about 8:09. You know, I didn't want to call them at 8 o'clock, make them think I was desperate or anything. So I waited till about 8:09 and I called them up and I said, hey, we just ran over the numbers. We thinking about going forward. He said, Robinson, I am so glad you called. He said, we never did have your number, so I had no way of reaching you. He said, so I'm glad you called me. So I can tell you, when we ran over the numbers, if we're over it, then it wouldn't be as much. It would be less amount if we're in charge and putting it all together, blah, 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 blah. And right then the Lord nudged me on the shoulder and he said, see, that's what I can do. He said, I can subtract more money than they have overnight. I can subtract more money from the budget overnight. That's what I can do. I couldn't wait to find a class, a roommate, find a co-worker's office. I could close the door and throw up my hand and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because even at the end of facts and figures, brothers and sisters, there is still faith. And when facts and figures run out, when your numbers do not calculate, when your math stop massing, faith will still press on. God can make a way based on our faith. Moses said, trust and believe. Hold on, stand still. See what the Lord is going to do. So you have the people's choice to go back. You have the leader's choice, bred out of wisdom, to stand still. But then there's a third choice in verse 15. In verse 15, It's the Lord's choice. Now note with me, if you will, that the first thing the Lord asked Moses is why. Now as leaders, it's often troublesome because you got the people asking you why, and then you got the Lord asking you why. And you really don't matter about the why for me, but it's just, what do you have us to do? But both sides are asking the leader about why. And Moses wasn't right. Moses' standstill was not what God wanted for the people. God said, why are you crying out to me? Why are you stopping? Why aren't you still moving? If God tells you to go somewhere, next time we see a Red Sea, you ought to be putting on your swimwear. You ought to just be taking off your shoes and wherever. I ain't going to walk through it. I must going to have to swim through it. And there's some people that say, why should we follow the leader? I mean, after all of his wisdom, after all of his time with the Lord, he's been with the Lord, he's been talking with the Lord, experienced with the Lord, why follow the leader? Well, one thing, it didn't work out for those in this story that tried it not to. Moses' brother and sister tried to go up against Moses. Why did God always talk to him? Why is he the only one the Lord talked to? And the way it turned out for them, it ended in leprosy. I'm just saying, God didn't go for it. The second thing is who the Lord addressed. The Lord doesn't go back to the people. The Lord tells Moses to tell the people to move on. So the first one who had to be corrected was Moses. See, before I can convict your heart with the word of God, God already convicted my heart. See, I gotta suffer every day so that I can present a message to you on one day. That's the burden of the leader. Moses was the first one that discovered that he was wrong. He up there saying, stand still, stand still. I'm trying to hear from the Lord. Stand still. Be quiet. I'm trying to hear from the Lord. The people settle down. He get quiet and the Lord holler out at him. Why are you standing there? Why are you crying out to me? You tell the people to move on. And brothers and sisters, I tell you, that's the only choice though. The right choice is always the Lord's choice. The Lord's choice is always to move on. Even when we have devastating news, even when we have difficult choices to make in this life, even when we have to make decisions that we hope that we wouldn't have to make. You know, some days you're going to come to the point where people making decisions for you, and I don't particularly like the decision they make for themselves. And now all of a sudden they're making decisions for me. But that day comes. But there's always a choice. You can go with the people's choice. You can even go with the leader's choice. But then there's always the Lord's choice. Now, the Lord's choice, he says, move on. Now, one thing about the Lord's choice is that the Lord don't always tell us what he's going to do. See, you got to move on by faith and obedience. See, when Abraham was told to offer up his only son, Isaac, he went up to that mountain by faith, trusting the Lord that somehow he going to work this out. I don't know how he going to turn this sacrifice around. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to, by faith, trust the Lord. But when the Lord spoke, your faith has to stop so that your obedience can kick in. See, some of us, we allow our faith to the old to make us to be obedient to the fresh revelation that the Lord has right now. See, you can't be so faithful that you don't hear what God is saying today. You can't be so faithful to the word in 1985 that you're not hearing what the Lord is saying in 2025. You can't be so faithful to the word of God in 1975 that you are not hearing from the Lord in 2025. No, you have to be faithful to hear from the Lord and what the Lord is saying right now. Because you never know what the Lord is going to do. And what did the Lord do? The Lord moved the pillar of cloud or the cloud of fire by night. He moved it to the back of the ranks, which gave the impression to Pharaoh that the children of Israel had turned around. Because everybody knows that your headlights go at the front of the car and not at the back of the car. And what God did was put his headlights at the back of the car. And he led them forward without the headlights behind them pushing them. So as they are going forward, they're going following their own shadow into the dark. Because the light was, but to Pharaoh, it appeared that the children of Israel had turned around. So what did he do? He got real mad. And he started charging in behind them, thinking that they were coming toward him. So as he charged down on them, the further and further away they're going. So he going faster, they're going away, until ultimately they're trapped in the Red Sea. See, brothers and sisters, God got miracles that he is waiting to perform. There was a man that died and went to heaven. And as he was walking through heaven, he saw all of these storehouses, all these warehouses all over the place. And he said, what are those? He asked the angel, and the angel said, those are storehouses of blessings. Those are blessings that belong to people. People who have lived this life, they're their blessings, some in storehouses. And he said, well, I won't see my blessings. He said, well, those blessings won't do you no good now. I mean, you're in heaven now. What good are those blessings to you now? He said, well, I just want to see them. And he go and he see them. It's a bright day, sunshine, orange juice, you know, all this kind of just little blessings for life. He said, why do people have so many blessings in heaven that they could have used on earth? He said, the reason is because so few people choose the Lord. See, when you choose the Lord's way, the Lord then becomes obligated to bless his way. Because the Lord is like you and I, ain't it? You back your own plan, don't you? If anybody going to back your plan, it's going to be you. If anybody going to back your idea, it's going to be you. Well, the same is true with God. God put the weight of heaven behind his plan. God put the weight of heaven behind his course of action. God put the weight of heaven behind his idea for you. And that means miracles after miracles he will perform on your behalf. And with the children of Israel, they got through that situation. Looked like a dead end situation. Looked like a no way, no win situation. Looked like nothing else we could do. You know, there's always people say, well, what else could we do? We can try it the Lord's way and watch the Lord work it out. So when we're faced with choices, in this world we're faced with so many choices, I just recommend, brothers and sisters, that you choose to do it the Lord's way. Not what everybody else is doing. Not even what I might say from Sunday to Sunday. And I told them on Wednesday, I look forward to making some spectacular mistakes. I look forward to making some brand new stuff, some stuff Griffin ain't even thought about doing. I plan on making mistakes that Griffin couldn't even fathom making. But trusting in the Lord, believing that he's able to make a way out of no way, and that he did not bring us this far only to leave us, and he will work it out. Multiple choice, choose the Lord. May God bless you and may God keep you today. At this time, we're going to extend the invitation. If you're online, we invite you to put in a comment as the deacons, greeters come. We want you to know that you can come. You can come as you are from where you are. Will you come? Will you come?
For thee, dear Lord, a cross I'll bear, and I'll go anytime, anywhere. I'll not fall.
Accept. Yes, sir. May the Lord bless you today.